Blog Talk Radio.
Some ways I've been looking forward to the show, and in some ways I haven't. A lot I need to say. And, you know, I have to take my licking, you know. If you guys saw the game last night, you saw what I saw. The Bears handed it to the Cowboys. It was not a good night for Cowboy Nation. But we're going to get into that, and we're going to get into a lot more. And first I'm going to introduce Madden Nation Season 4 contestant. And resident Big Mouth.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh Steeler fan. They had a bye week, so, you know, I mean, you know, his 1-2 Steelers are sitting there. Is it 1-2? Is that the guy's there? 1-2?
I yeah. See you're prepping yourself right now. You're prepping yourself right now.
That's right. I mean, I'm stating fact. But, you know, he had a week off. So, but, you know, anyway, he's a Madden Nation Season 4 contestant. One of the best Madden players in the world. And you catch him on Twitter, Ali Quick, 2 K's, Ali Quick. Check him out. And he is also the co-host of the Madden Voice. We know him as K-Star. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
I'm so happy to be here tonight, and especially now that you just decided to give me that kind of introduction. You finished my introduction strong, but at first you tried to make it a little funny with the Steeler comments. I'm very excited tonight.
I didn't say anything to Ryan. I didn't lie.
I just found your word placement. You quite interesting considering, you know, last night's events. It feels like, you know, I see what you're doing over there. That's fine. I'm ready.
Is people in glass houses, and that's all I'm going to say. But we need to bring on the man, because tonight, I mean, in many cases, I have to bow. You know, I mean, I'm going to say what I need to say, but I can't. I mean, no matter what I say, the outcome is the outcome. You know, and, 34-18, and the last touchdown Dallas score really don't even count. So, you know, the Bears did it. And I have to introduce the man of the hour. His team did it. They are 3-1, tied atop the NFC North, and looking like contenders, you know. And I got to introduce the man who also, by the way, has his PhD, and he will get into a little trains philosophy. But I've known him for many years because he was the winner of the first EAFL Super Bowl. That's right, EAFL, best Madden league ever created. Just go ahead and Google us. We're still out there. But he is with us now, happy as can be. Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
K-Star. What's up? I know, he's hype. One happy man.
Yeah. Hey,
What's up, man?
Gonna do something that I don't normally do. I'm gonna shut up. I'm gonna immediately turn the floor over. We're not getting into Train's philosophy just yet, but I'm gonna give Train the floor to talk about the game last night because he's earned it. His team did it, and I mean, because Lord knows if it had been the other way around, I'd be running my mouth. So I gotta sit back and take it. So Train, let's jump right in. Bears stomp on the Cowboys. Your thoughts on the game last night?
I have to tell you, you know, I am a Bears fan, but I am surprised. I didn't expect for us to be that much of a beatdown. I really didn't. I had faith in the defense to get the job done, at least get one score, create some turnovers. I was shaky about the offense because up until we played the Cowboys, you know, it looked like we didn't know how to use Brandon Marshall. You know, it looked like Jay Cutler was going to start off being bad Jay, you know, and then maybe get better later on the season. Because he does get better as the season goes along. He's done that the past 2 years. But, you know, he started out being bad Jay, so it was like, dude, did he forget how to go through his progression? Then I didn't know if Matt Forte was going to play, but he showed up. But, wow. Wow. Well, I lost my voice a second time because mine had just come off PSU's 100 celebration year homecoming. And then this happens. So my voice was lost again as I screamed the entire night for the defense, man. It was a great showing by the defense, one that, man, teams need to look out for. I mean, we put the type of pressure that you need to put on Tony Romo because the guy can escape the pocket. He still he tried to keep his composure for the most part, but after a while, it just got real ugly. You know, probably first couple of interceptions, you may not say they were. Well, I know one wasn't his fault, definitely the one that popped up. The other one was a read, but that was also pressure made by the Bears' defense, and they created the turnovers that we needed, you know. But on the flip side, Brandon Marshall was all over the place. This is like, this is the first game where they actually had him in motion here and there. I mean, one person just couldn't guard him. They kept him in motion, made sure they got him the ball. They fed Forte early on, which was very crucial, so we had a little bit of success on the ground. But once they were able to get the job done through the air, you know, they kept attacking. Definitely converted some key third downs because that was definitely needed. Offensive line held up, which was huge, you know, against what was ranked the number one defense coming in. And no sacks on, well, I think it was two sacks on Cutler. I'll roll with that. I'll roll with that for the remainder of the night based on that performance. So overall, man, we dominated the game and took advantage of some key mistakes made by the Cowboys, made by the receivers, made by Romo. We took advantage of those mistakes, and that's what it's all about. You know, you have to take advantage of the mistakes another team make, and we created the turnovers necessary, man, and the offense took them a whole half to get it together, but then they started to come through. So, dude, I'm stoked and I'm excited moving forward, man. I can't wait to the next big test.
It was a good game. Good game for the Bears. And nothing that I will say tonight is meant to diminish that. I'm a grown man, and I think Train will tell you all the years that he's known me, I've never been a sore loser. You know, we got beat by a better team. And I even went on his page and liked his photo of the final score. Because we didn't really have a bet, but I felt the need to acquiesce. I felt the need to step up and just say, hey, you guys got me. And let me show you how much you got me by liking the picture of Brandon Marshall standing on with the score. So I did that.
Did you see the picture?
I didn't see the picture. I'm actually looking for it right now. I'm going to Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, man.
But, you know, I got a bigger issue with the other guy on the show, man.
Please, I cannot wait. Let's do this. Go ahead.
Call Tony Romo a fraud, man. You know what I mean? I mean, he didn't just come out and say Tony had a bad game. He didn't say, you know, wow, I mean, damn. You know, he said fraud. So, I'm going to give K-Star the floor. I'm going to sit quietly, waiting my turn, because K-Star's been chomping at the bit. He was on Twitter last night all over me, you know, so on Facebook. You know, because
absolutely.
I didn't like. You know, what's funny about it is I got to say this real quick. And I'm going to shut up. But when the Steelers 1-2 got whooped, we couldn't find K-Star after that game. You couldn't find him on Twitter. You couldn't find him on Facebook. I remember last year with his Facebook page down because the Steelers got whooped. Where was I last night? I was right there. You see what I'm saying?
You were. You absolutely, right. You know what? And I will not take you. You were great. You absolutely were. You were there. I got to give you credit before I eat your soul. You were awesome last night for.
You just remember that as your Steelers got the Eagles this weekend, but I'm jumping way ahead of myself. Just remember that because
we got some good news coming up for that game.
Get their asses handed. I'm looking for you, and you better not be running and hiding. You better not be in the bathroom T-bowing or something. You better be right there on Twitter, Facebook, take it like a man. But anyway, I'm getting way ahead of myself. I'm going to go ahead and let K-Star talk about the game last night. Floor is yours.
Absolutely. Okay, so we all watched the game last night. We all obviously have our thoughts about the game last night. Twitter exploded. There was a whole Tony Romo time, you know, tweet, the Cowboys, you know, embarrassing, stuff like that. But one thing that doesn't surprise anyone, and honestly, first of all, let me just express I'm very upset because I picked the Cowboys to win this game. I just want to remind everyone that I picked the Cowboys to win this game. It upsets me that I picked that game for the Cowboys to win. I picked the Cowboys to win this division, the NFC East. And I'm asking myself today, why? Why do I keep setting myself up, just like many other people out there who pick the Cowboys who are very upset today? Why are we setting ourselves up for failure picking the Cowboys and for whatever reason believing the talent? When we do realize that the quarterback is Tony Romo, the most fraudulent quarterback I have ever seen in my life. This man had a QB rating, the number two all time. I don't know if that still stands because this year he's been stinking it up. However, it was number two all time leading up to this year. And the knock on Romo has always been he's inconsistent. He fails in the big games. That he chokes, that he's this, that he's that. But the stats say otherwise. But at the end of the day, what is constant is that the Cowboys do not have a good direction for leadership, whether it's Wade Phillips, whether it's Jason Garrett now, and that they underperform. There's been two head coaches, actually three, including Parcells, although that was his first year, so it's really hard to include him there. Three coaches Tony Romo's had throughout his career in Dallas. One playoff win. 1-2 in the playoffs. And last night, what we were all reminded of, the people who picked the Cowboys, forgot that in these moments, this man will do just the most unthinkable things that you'll ever see a quarterback do and just stink it up. Last night was a total home Tony Romo highlight reel. It was a gag reel. It was pathetic. And again, I'm so emotional about it because I keep falling for this trap. And that's what people get upset with Tony Romo. The inconsistent quarterback play in very big games. Last night was quite the opportunity to showcase the talent of the Cowboys, to show that they are a true Super Bowl contender this year. And again, for the second time in his career, Tony Romo made history last night, by the way, being the only player to do this, having a 5-interception game among that football. He's done that twice. Yes,
active. Let's not misstate facts.
I'm pretty sure that's all time.
No, it's only active. He's the only active quarterback to have 2 5-pick games.
Active quarterback to have 2 5-pick games in the NFL today. Not even on Monday Night Football.
Wait. I'm not going to let you misstate facts just to prove your point.
Okay.
The fact is,
at the end of the day, he's still the only person to have 2 multi-5-pick games in Monday Night Football playing right now today. Yes.
That is correct.
Okay.
Just want to make sure you get it right.
That's fine. Nonetheless, we've all fallen for this. We've all fallen for this trick where we pick the Cowboys and we're reminded as to why we should never pick the Cowboys. And for a while I've heard it's coaching. I always hear some kind of form of leadership. So the fact of the matter is there's one constant that's been on this team for years now, and that's Tony Romo. And last I checked, you know, wins, losses, we all know it's a team game. The quarterbacks get the credit and the blame for this. Now, again, the Tony Romo supporters have again tried to pin it all on everyone else besides Tony Romo. It's never Tony. It's this. It's, you know, it's the defense. It's Jason Garrett. It's Wade Phillips. It's Terrell Owens. He's a cancer. You know, it's always something. And again, last night, I don't want to sit here and say Tony Romo was solely to blame for this game, because there was another man named Des Bryant who definitely did. I'm not just going to bash Romo just to bash Romo. I'm also going to be objective. Des Bryant had a full record. Hold on. No, you cannot laugh, Nathan. I said, because, by the way, I paid the Cowboys. So obviously I was rooting for the Cowboys. I had Tony Romo. Hold on. Let's not forget. Yeah. I have Tony Romo in a fantasy league, unfortunately, that was given to me.
It's in draft. So anyway. Objective. I didn't have the objective.
But anyway, fact of the matter is, Dez Bryant didn't help out Tony Romo in this game. He caused a pick six, I believe. There's some debate about that, but I'm not going to just bash Tony to bash Tony. That looked like that was a miscommunication. It was Dez Bryant who should have run a hitch. Either ran a streak or a corner. I couldn't tell what he was trying to do up there. He didn't have enough time to get that route finished. So Dez Bryant had a bunch of drops, but Tony Romo missed wide open touchdown passes. He had the third interception of the game. The second one wasn't his fault either. It bounced off, I believe, Kevin Ogletree's helmet or his hands, one or the other. But the third one, after the defense, the Cowboys' defense, which, by the way, much maligned over the years, gave Tony Romo the excuse that they never create turnovers for him, that they will never play lockdown defense and get opportunities to win these games. The Cowboys forced a turnover, get the ball right back after the second interception that was not Romo's fault, and then we see the biggest gaffe, one of the biggest gaffes, Tony Romo's illustrious gaffe in career. There's pressure in the pocket. He steps up. He tries to flip the ball to Jason Witten. Lance Briggs just takes it to the house. It was despicable. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. Twitter exploded. Facebook, no one. It was just ridiculous. And that was the backbreaking play of the game. Now the Cowboys' defense had a very solid game up until their spirits were completely broken by Tony Romo's god awful play in this game in the fourth quarter. And again, it just goes to show you that throughout this man's career, these moments are going to happen. This is why the Cowboys don't make the playoffs. Moments like these, because the Cowboys' defense played very good last night. You know, they turned the ball back over. They got the ball back for Tony Romo. They gave him every opportunity to put them back in the game. And it just didn't happen. Now, again, Dez Bryant played a horrible game. He didn't help out Tony Romo. But this Teflon stuff that the Cowboys have for Tony Romo, Cowboy fans, I just don't see how. I mean, there's some Cowboy fans out there who are actually real to themselves when they actually look at Tony Romo and say to themselves that this man can't get it done because look at this. We can't even get to the playoffs because of games like these. Like, this happens far too often. And again, I want to remind everyone out there, the Cowboys' offense this year has been terrible. Three offensive touchdowns in the last 12 games. Romo's win-loss Cowboys record 10-15 in the last 25 games. Five touchdowns to 10 total turnovers this year. 8 picks, 2 fumbles. He's been bad. And he needs to play better for the Cowboys to have any chance to contend this season. And I just don't think that he can put together those string of games because last night he blew it. And, again, it's just very upsetting. It's very upsetting because for all those people who bought into it, it's upsetting. I'm very upset with you.
Is it my turn yet? Is he starting to repeat?
We got
an audience out there. You're repeating yourself. So, I mean, is it my turn yet? You
go
got
ahead.
Something different to say. I'll listen.
I'm upset with you because you were the Cowboy. You were Mr. Cowboy, and even you had got me to drink the Cowboy juice, and I'm very upset.
Yeah. I just want to know when it's my turn. That's all I want to know.
Go.
Everybody get ready. I'm about to lay down T-Bonics like you've never heard it laid down before. Get your kids out of the room. You know, put them to bed. If your girl's messing with you, tell her, no, I got to listen to Commissioner T. All right? This is about to be. I'm about to take everybody to school. Okay? First, I just want to say this. People say that Romo always chokes. I just want to say one thing. Wasn't there a game 4 weeks ago in New York when the Giants was accepting their Super Bowl trophy? Wasn't that a big game at the beginning, in prime time? Everyone in the nation was watching in New York. Wasn't that a huge game? And how did Romo play that game? See, this is such a what have you done for me lately league, particularly when it's Tony Romo. Everybody forgets that game. That game is long gone and forgotten. All of a sudden, Romo's the worst quarterback in the NFL right now. He never, this is what I hear. This is what I've been hearing all day. Romo, get rid of him. He's trash. He's garbage. He never gets it done. Never gets it done? 4 weeks ago, biggest game against the Super Bowl champs. How'd he play? Everybody was like, oh, played pretty well. Played pretty well that game. Let's talk about last night's game, though, because I do know that was 4 weeks ago. And let me just say this, with all respect to the Bears. Bears had a little something to do with last night. I mean, I think people forget there's another team over there that plays pretty well on defense. There's another team over there that made up their minds that they weren't going to let Tony Romo do some of the things that Romo is known to do. But let me say this. Romo had 5 picks on paper. Anybody that believes 2 of those picks were his fault is smoking something. Smoking something strong. The first one to Dez, not his fault, period. The one to Ogletree, not his fault, period. The shuffle pass, I haven't heard Romo come out and say he tried to shuffle the ball. Until I hear him say that, I don't know that he was trying to shuffle the ball or if he wasn't, if it didn't get knocked out of his hand from behind because of the pressure. Don't know. Could have been a shuffle to Witten. Could have been. Could have been knocked out of his hand. Don't know. Don't, I'm talking. Shut your mouth. I let you talk. Now it's my turn. All right? The last two, well, you're down by freaking 17 points. What are you going to do, run the ball? You got to throw. And the Bears, same Bears that have a pretty good defense, the same Bears that I said last year will win that division. I said, look out for those Bears. They're for real till Cutler got hurt. I know who we're playing against. This is not the St. Louis Rams defense. This is a damn good defense. Did people forget? And I don't know. Did the season end because the team is 2-2 and second in their division? I don't understand, Cowboy Nation. I don't understand, football world, why the season is over because Romo had a bad game. And I will say, he had a bad game. Absolutely. But the season's over now at 2-2. It's done. Pack it in. Ship Romo out. Put in Kyle Orton as your quarterback. What, are you kidding me? Now, I was very upset last night. I saw Romo miss some passes. But you know who I was really upset with? I was upset with Dez Bryant. I was really upset with Dez Bryant. This man has all the physical gifts that any wide receiver would want. He's tall. He can jump. He's got great hands. He's fast. He's strong. He is built in the same style as Megatron. Maybe 2 inches shorter. Megatron 6'5". Dez is 6'3". But he's a monster. And some of those drops he had and some of those routes he ran, I didn't get it. You're in your third year now. No more excuses. I'm not listening to you. I'm not hearing it. Witten, thank God you came back to being Jason Witten, or it would have been worse. Thank you, Jason. But Dez disappointed me. But I'm going to tell everybody, get off of Romo's back. Get off of Dez's back. I'm going to tell everybody what the problem is with the Cowboys. Everybody's been asking me all day, what's the problem with the Cowboys? Everybody's been asking me. I'm going to tell you, I know what the problem is with the Cowboys. I'm going to tell you right now. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to let a friend tell you. I'm not even going to tell you. And I'm going to let, and this friend, K-Star, is someone you know very, very well. Okay? I'm going into the K-Star bag of tricks on this one. So everybody just pay attention for about 1 minute and just listen to this.
I just told the guys I appreciate the spirit and energy in which they fought. Please don't talk to me about more victories and things of that nature. That'd be disrespectful to those guys in the room. We didn't get the job done. We came up short. We accept responsibility for that. You know, we will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December because we have to. We won't go in the shell. We're going to go in attack mode because that's what's required. But came up short tonight. Tough environment versus a good football team. I like to compliment those guys. They made the plays necessary to win, and we came up just short. So,
K-Star, who's that?
That is the great Mike Tomlin.
And then what were the circumstances where that press conference took place, and he made that very famous quote?
We had just taken a loss. I don't know if it was to Cleveland or someone. It was a bad loss, and we still had all December to go. We're trying to make a playoff run.
It was
the year after we won the Super Bowl, though.
Right. It was Baltimore, I believe, that you had lost to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I bring that up to say this. K-Star, when you heard that, how did you feel when you heard that press conference and Mike Tomlin said that? As a fan and as a supporter of the Steelers, how did you feel when you heard that?
I felt incredible because not only did, you know, he, Tomlin, acknowledge in a very special manner that, you know, we had lost to a better team that day, but that there's better things ahead for the team.
Mike Tomlin made you feel like he was going to go in there and maybe put on shoulder pads himself, but he made you feel like something was going to change with that team. And that is what's missing. I'm not even going to say Jason Garrett's a bad coach. And get off of Jerry Jones's jock, everybody. Leave the man alone. Okay? Leave the man alone. I don't want to hear that it's Jerry Jones's fault. You know why? Because Jerry Jones got K-Star to drink the Kool-Aid. With a team that's been mediocre for 15 years and is still as relevant as the Super Bowl champions. Why? It's because Jerry Jones is a freaking genius. So get off his back. Period. It's not Jerry Jones' fault. But what's missing in this team, and what's been missing, dare I say, since Jimmy Johnson was there, minus maybe Bill Parcells, is what you just heard from Mike Tomlin. I want y'all to hear just the first 30 seconds again so I can finish my point. Just hear the first 30 seconds again.
I just told the guys I appreciate the spirit and energy in which they fought. Please don't talk to me about more victories and things of that nature. That'd be disrespectful to those guys in the room. We didn't get the job done. We came up short. We accept responsibility for that. You know, we will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December because we have to.
There's a passion in there. There is a fire in there. There is something in there that if I'm following that coach, I'm ready to go out there and make this right. I'm not going to miss this assignment next time. I'm not dropping that pass next time. I'm not missing that tackle next time. There is something there that my coach said that I'm listening to because he said we will not go gently. We will unleash holy hell. And I can only imagine how that translated on the practice field and in the film room. I can only imagine. Now, I'm not out there in Texas. I'm not out there in Arlington. I'm not out there at the practices. But I watch the press conferences. I watch all the people, all of everybody, you know, the Romo interviews and all of that. And I don't want to hear that Romo's got no heart. A very good friend of mine, he might be listening. I invited him to listen to the show. He says, Romo's got no heart. I'm sorry, E. Romo doesn't have any heart. Romo will fight to the end. He's one of the most competitive players you will ever meet. It's not that he doesn't have a heart. What's missing is that killer instinct. We saw it last year when this team had five double-digit leads in the fourth quarter and didn't get it done. And now we're seeing it this year. Now we're seeing them at home fold against a team that even Train, who is a Bears fan, said, wow, I didn't expect it to be like that. And until someone in that organization addresses that, I don't want to hear Jason Garrett come out and say, well, you know, we got to go and reverse, you know, check out the film and, you know, we got to stack good days together and we just got to move. I don't want to hear it. I want to hear somebody get pissed off. Because Cowboy Nation's pissed off right now. I want someone to get on there and get pissed off. I want someone to say, and I made this a mature show tonight. I'm not planning on doing a lot of swearing because I don't know who's out there listening, but I got to let a little bit come out. But I want somebody in Cowboy Nation to say, I'm fucking pissed off that wears the blue and silver. I want to hear Romo say that.
Yeah, when is Romo going to say that? When are you ever going to point to your quarterback for any of this? Like, I understand the leadership, but a quarterback leads by example in the football field. Let me ask you something. I just got to ask you a quick question. I have to know it now. Last night, was that just on Dez Bryant? Who was that game on? I'm not just asking for one player. I'm asking you specifically. You cannot touch it. I know the Bears played very good defense. The Bears were on the field as well. However, are you not at all going to mention Romo's name in a negative? Are you not at all?
I said Romo.
Can I get in there?
I said Romo.
Can I get in there?
I just want to answer his question because he asked me a direct question. I'm going to give him a direct answer. I most certainly said Romo had a bad game. I'm not running away from Romo's mistakes in that game. But for people to put the entire game on Romo, for people to say it's time to get rid of Romo, for people to say he has no heart, for people to say, here we go again, they didn't watch the entire game. That's all I'm saying. I will stop short of all that, and I will say, he had a bad game. He didn't play well. He made, especially in the second half, when we were down. I mean, when you give up 14 points and the defense holds them to 20, you put your team in a position to win if the offense can get going. The offense couldn't get going, and I blame a lot of that on Romo. Go ahead, Trey.
Look, let me put this because I constantly have to deal with the QB bashing on a week-to-week basis for Jay Cutler. Let me say, you cannot blame that whole game on Tony Romo. You do realize Dallas came in that game with the number one defense, regardless of who they played leading up to this week. They played teams that were winning games. I mean, I already said it's the year of the defense. They came in with the number one defense. So it's not just on Tony Romo.
Their defense played good.
We got it. Their defense played good for a half.
No, it played good for three quarters. Their backs were broken. Why Romo's erratic play. That's what happened.
No, their defense. Yeah, we scored was the first offensive touchdown in the early third quarter.
Yes.
Yes, for a half. Yeah, we came out for the beginning of the third quarter firing off. So the defense played good for a half. Come second half, the Bears figured it out. So the game doesn't just come down on Tony Romo. If you look at the read, if you look at the first touchdown by Chicago's defense, really it's just a miscommunication between Romo and Dez. You can put the blame on both. They need to just share the blame. Romo saw the blitz. He called out the blitz. He looked over to Dez and said, hey, it's a blitz coming. You know, cut the route short, do whatever, but we need to connect on this pass.
Well, no. Let's be clear on that play. You're absolutely right, except it's Dez's fault. And Dez came out and said he misunderstood. I mean, if Tillman is backing off, why would you run a fly? If Tillman is backing off and the blitz is coming, you run a hook. And that's what Tony Tillman told him to do. Instead, he kept going. You got to pick six. So that's Dez's fault.
I mean, yeah, because when you look at it, Romo like took three steps and he let the ball go because he knew the blitz was coming. He knew he couldn't hold it long and they were coming through.
So he had
to let it go.
You had one deep safety. That's all you had. And so he knew three steps, boom, and he told Dez hook. Dez was supposed to take 3-4, boom, turn around, get the ball, maybe. You know, Tillman's, you know, he's no joke. But if he can shake Tillman, might be off to the races. So, it's execution.
I mean, it was execution. It was two people over in coverage because Urlacher actually rolled coverage over that way. But
he might have had a shot. But Urlacher didn't have a shot.
Whoa, wait. No, here's the problem. Here's the problem.
Urlacher wasn't on that play.
I said earlier it was Dez Bryant's fault, but here's the problem. When it comes to Tony Romo, T, you don't blame other quarterbacks. I remember week three last year when the Patriots lost to the Bills, and Tom Brady had four picks, one of them of which was his fault. You said it didn't matter. You said it didn't matter at all because eventually the quarterback has to take accountability. But when it comes to Romo, you don't want to do that. So that's why I have a problem because earlier, again, I had said I was on Dez Bryant. But listen, it bothers me hearing this. I remember this conversation last year with Tom Brady when he had those four picks against Buffalo and you didn't care. You know, he said that didn't matter, that Romo, or that eventually it had to come on Brady. What's going to come on Romo? This is ridiculous.
And who gets bad, Romo or Brady? Who gets
you remember that? Hold on, Trey, do you remember that?
I thought we all agreed last year that no matter how the pick happens, you know, we will break him down, but ultimately it will fall on the quarterback.
And I'd like to ask you, K-Star, at what point in this show did I not say Romo played a bad game? At what point did I excuse Romo's performance? I speak very clear English. That's the best language I know.
You got into that after the fact. No. You saved that for the last. You just put that in there as if it was a cliff note. No.
It's when people start saying, here we go again. When people start saying, get rid of Romo. Now I've got a problem. But when people say Romo had a bad game, Romo had a bad night, I agree because he did. But who does it?
Exactly. And that's the point that I'm trying to get through. We're trying to point out some things because that game is not only on Tony Romo. Receivers drop passes that would have been third down conversions. I'm looking at it like, oh, man, That's
good
right.
That was terrible.
Damn, we got out of it. Receivers off that. Like I said, the defense caved in the second half. The defense, the Bears figured it out. They figured out how to beat that defense and started moving the ball through the air because first half it was tough. And our first two scores came by defense.
Couldn't you argue that the Cowboys, the defense of the Cowboys, they were tied. Their will was broken with all these miscommunications, these pick sixes. There were 14 points
that the Cowboys put up for the Bears.
I love that.
I can't agree. I can't agree that their will with
had nothing to do with the Bears scheme. It was their will was broken.
No. It was. How was it not broken? You cannot tell any football player who's ever played football that on defense. Hold on. No.
The game was not out of reach. They went into the half 10-7. Your will cannot be broken when you're only down by 3 points. And it's halftime, dude. That will was
and then what
broken.
Happened? But then what happened? What happened in the third quarter when Romo threw another pick six?
The best 80 yards, man.
80 yards after.
What I do not like about your statement is you're taking credit away from my team, from my offense, from Mike Tice actually figuring it out, getting Brandon Marshall open, getting the offense going and getting downfield. That doesn't mean that the Dallas defense wheel was broken. That means the Bears figured it out. So give my quarterback and give my team's offense credit where credit is due.
I will
finally,
ask. Hold on, hold
for all
on, hold
3 weeks.
On.
Where they've been getting the beat down, finally they figured out a team's defense and scored, and it's a playoff caliber team, and all you want to say is the Cowboys' defense will was broken? No, their will was not broken. Chicago figured something out, and they had a good night.
The Bears played great. Absolutely. No one's taken away from them at all. I understand what you're saying, but let's be honest. I'm simply saying that while the Bears did some great things with putting Marshall in motion, getting him open, he made great plays on the football field. They did make some halftime adjustments. Of course they did. But what I'm trying to say to you as well, I mean, do you not see that in any kind of light that the Cowboys defense, who played so good, because think about it, they forced that turnover in the third quarter to get the ball back from Cutler. I believe Sean Lee, DeMarcus Ware,
yes,
was the sack. I believe Sean Lee recovered it. You know, they put the Cowboys offense in a great situation, but only to see that
exactly.
go back for seven, like a whole 14-point score on them.
Let me jump in here real quick. First of all, I agree with Train 100%. You can't take away what the Bears did. Brandon Marshall, 7 catches, 138 yards and a touchdown. Okay, I mean, the Cowboys' defense was number one going in this game. The secondary was also number one against the pass going in, and Brandon Marshall had his way. They had 80-something yards on the ground, and they only got to Cutler Well, actually, they sacked him twice, okay? Which, in this game, you kind of needed 4 or 5 sacks. Cutler, dare I say, Romo-like, was very elusive in the pocket and made plays on his feet. Cutler played, I mean, let's be honest, just as you can say about Tony Romo, Cutler has been cut from a similar cloth. He's a gunslinger, and sometimes you wonder which Cutler is going to show up. And last night he came to play. Okay, he played a game that, you know, on an upper echelon level. And so K-Star, when you say, you know, the Cowboys folded, no, they didn't fold. They just couldn't stop the Bears, especially in the second half. And it didn't help that they gave up another, you know, score that the offense gave. That didn't help. But the
you
Bears
think that's
the
a 14-point change right there.
Absolutely. But the Bears were moving the ball on the Cowboys. You know, Victor Butler has a sack in a very – I don't remember exactly where it was, but he had him, and Cutler got away, and that would have been a fourth down.
Yeah,
I remember.
That was I mean
there's
plays like that go on in the game, and that's why I go back to execution, and I go back to the killer instinct. You know, somebody – has to put something in. Year after year, the Cowboys are always one of the more talented teams ever since Parcells left. And year after year, I'm sitting here defending this team. And at last night, it just went. I'll tell you when I got the maddest. When I got the maddest as a fan, when the interference call happened, and Rob Ryan is on the sidelines incensed because the ball was tipped, and he had to tell Jason Garrett to challenge it because it was a challengeable play. Garrett is arguing with the challenge flag in his pocket, and Ryan is yelling, throw the flag. This is a challengeable play. And I'm sitting there like, dude, you're the head coach. You're supposed to know this, okay? This is what you're supposed to know. And instead of, I mean, hey, if you don't know, then instead of arguing that, you know, why don't you go to Ryan, hey, can we challenge this? And instead, and they almost missed getting the challenge in. And that's when I sat there and I said, this is the leader of the Cowboys? I have been a Jason Garrett fan for years. The guy has been an excellent offensive coordinator, and I wanted him as our head coach. I am now, for the first time, questioning his ability as a head coach. And, you know, in the next 5 weeks, we're going to see whether or not he can turn this team around or not. I now have my doubts, not because of Romo.
That's when you got most upset, that play. Not after the defense had forced a turnover to get the Cowboys back in the game, only for it to be a pick-six.
Ask your question. Have you ever played organized sports in your life? Because you talk like
absolutely, and that's why I'm referring to the defense being absolutely dejected and sick after watching two pick-six happen. Yes, absolutely.
Sets the tone. Who sets the tone on the team? Who sets the tone?
The defense does, as it always does.
Who sets the tone? The head coach sets the tone. And if the head coach is confused, how can you expect the players to perform if the head coach has his head in his ass?
Hold on. I'm tired. I'm just saying this trend of head coaches just being lame, going up lame in Dallas. Like it's. I'm just telling you who's been there the whole time. And let me tell you something. Wait. And the fact of the matter is, look, the Cowboys defense, again, this year, you're right. They were number one going into this game, correct? How are the Cowboys 2-2? Like, Romo's been playing. Hold on. Can we agree? Can you at least agree with me that aside from the Giants game, Romo has played pretty poor this season?
Yes.
You said yes?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, at least.
But don't miss my main point. You tell me there's always a reason. And I'm telling you that the problem right now, as I see it, is the coach and his lack of intensity and his lack of intestinal fortitude, a lack of resilience that he's putting into his team. The team fights because of the players, but not because of the coach. And if you don't believe that coaching matters, why don't you take a trip down to New Orleans and ask them how they're doing?
Then let me ask you this. Then how does that not fall on Jerry Jones if he cannot hire – if they have all the talent, but they can't hire the right coach ever, it seems.
Okay, but everyone –
how does it not go on Jerry Jones
knows,
at some point?
Okay, but everyone knows – Dallas knows that Jerry Jones is very controlling. I mean, T knows that. You know what I'm saying?
Is that not a problem?
Sideline. I mean, of course it's a problem. T has even stated that several times.
But it's his team.
Some of the problems Dallas deal with is Jerry Jones.
Going to argue,
there's
nothing we're going to be able to do with that. It's his team. He's the billionaire.
Yeah,
he bought the team. He can do whatever he wants. So that's it. I don't spend a lot of time dealing with it because it's his team. I mean, I'll be damned if someone's going to tell me what to do with my property. I own a house. I'm sitting in the basement of my house. I wish somebody would walk in my house and tell me, you don't need to host your show on your computer in your house. You need to do it in your bedroom. It's my house. I pay the bills up in here. It's his team.
Exactly.
He hires what he wants. He does what he wants. He got Bill Parcells in there. He wanted to keep Parcells. Parcells retired. Okay? Period. Jimmy Johnson. He wanted to keep Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy Johnson has come out publicly and say, no, I was not forced out. I left because it was time for me to go. I had accomplished what I came into NFL to accomplish, and I left, okay?
But then the guy was one, Barry Switzer, who admittedly wasn't a very NFL coach. Like, I see the one constant. This is what I
want to say about Dallas and what I don't understand. Look, you know what I'm saying? One, when you look at going into this game, Dallas was favored. Not heavily, but they were favored. So that means one, teams really did underestimate what Chicago could do. And they expected, like they've seen the previous week, a couple of blow up against what was considered a number one defense. But secondly, look, two playoff contenders played each other. One got the best of the other. That really does not mean Cowboys season is over, sitting at 2-2. We know we got 75% of the season left to play. That is retarded.
Thank you.
Because I'd be damned if I sit back and be like, our season is over if the Bears had lost that game. Yeah, I'd have been upset because, dang, we just played a playoff contender. We couldn't get that win. And, you know, you don't want to lose that badly at home.
But okay, it happened. But you are still sitting at 2-2, one game, and you're 1-4 in your division. I mean,
I don't think anyone's saying that the Cowboys season's over.
Out of the fight.
Let me.
I don't think anyone's saying season's over at all.
Okay.
I just think that people are saying don't trust the Cowboys.
Tell me. Day, I wish the Cowboys would lose the rest of their games so they can get a high draft pick and then get rid of Romo. So, oh no, it is an overreaction because the Cowboys, and it was Monday Night Football. And so that's all it's talked about all day. And I have a philosophy. You don't get too high after a win, you don't get too low after a loss. It's always been
exactly.
My okay, it was a tough loss, it was a rough loss. But now it's time to regroup and get ready because in less than 2 weeks you got the Ravens and they're not coming to shake your hands and play patty cake.
Right.
Okay, and if you think the Bears
defense
was tough, get ready because the Ravens are going to be equally tough. That's where I'm at, and I don't understand.
You got to figure this out. Because Dez Bryant, they got to figure out what they're going to do with Dez Bryant, though. Like, hold on. Like, as I said earlier, Romo had a bad game, but Dez Bryant had also a horrible. What should they do with this Dez Bryant here? Because if he can't, that first pick or that pick six, I again didn't feel was on Romo, and the fact that Dez Bryant just isn't picking up just certain things. He's dropping passes. Like he's a phenomenal talent.
Come on,
but at what
man.
Point?
Okay, let's think about this. Let's think about what you're saying. Victor Cruz. If you remember the first game of the season, Victor Cruz dropped crazy passes. That could have been.
It's not just one game.
No.
Okay, no, that was Victor Cruz.
Now you have Dez Bryant who has a bad game. It does not mean that the man's career is over. He got a lot of.
No one's saying his career is over, but listen, Dez Bryant had a big part in why that game was lost last night. Listen,
yes,
Dez Bryant has not touched his potential yet. But at some point, you have to wonder, as a fan, as a GM, as a coach, if that talent will ever be reached. Because he was just with dumb boneheaded plays last night, and it wasn't just last night. This man has underperformed as well.
Let me address what K-Star is asking about Dez Bryant. And I gotta tell you, I love me some Eric Mangini. Okay, I wish he was on Twitter. Love me some Eric Mangini. But Eric Mangini said it best, and I'm gonna pull up the quote. But he said it best. He said it this morning, and I put it out there on Twitter because I absolutely loved it. So hang tight. I'm looking for it right now. It's coming. He is the only one on that show at this point.
I believe he took a great talent get you fired. Something like that. So I
yeah, but
heard
it,
that
it,
today.
It is. There's. There, yeah, but hold on. Where is it? That's one. Okay. Marry talent with work ethic and accountability. And what we have with Dez is talent. We have work ethic. And I'm wondering about the accountability. I'm wondering about that. I agree with you, K-Star, okay? And I think what we saw, and if I'm Dez, and I saw Brandon Marshall get off like he did, you know, Dez did have 8 catches for 105 yards, but Brandon Marshall had 7 for 130 and a touchdown, and they were impactful catches. They were third down. They were big plays. He came through at the time that Cutler and the Bears needed him, and Dez, on at least 3 occasions that I could remember, did not. He had numbers, but they weren't impactful like Brandon Marshall. And if I'm Dez, I'm looking at that saying, damn, that should be me. Because he has all – I'm sorry. If anybody thinks that Brandon Marshall is a bigger physical talent than Dez Bryant, they're crazy. These guys are cut from the same cloth. You can probably take about 6 wide receivers and say these guys all have very similar talents, but why does one outperform another? And that's the question we have here. And Dez, he was injured, and there's other reasons, but now he's healthy. Romo's healthy. They do have O-line problems, but what team doesn't today? But Dez needs to step up. He needs to step up. And I think he can, but it goes back to what I am saying, is there needs to be an atmosphere of we're gonna whoop somebody's ass up in here. We are angry. And I want to see it. I don't want to hear that's behind closed doors. I don't want to hear you don't see what goes on in the locker room. Okay, you're just a fan. You're just the host of a show. I don't want to hear that. I want to see it in the press conferences. I want to see it in the interviews. I want to see that you're angry and pissed. That's what I want to see. I want to hear that this guy got angry and went in the locker room and threw his helmet because he was so damn mad. And guess what? You know, he went into, you know, the film room and started looking at tape last night at midnight because he wanted to know where he could improve. That's what we need, and that's what I think is missing. And if that happens in Dallas, then look out, because everything else is there. But that piece, in my opinion, is missing. We're going to talk more about this game. Right now, what I want to do is get into our individual segments, and I want to remind everybody out there, and I want to thank, I picked up a lot of Twitter followers over the last week, and if any of you happen to be tuning into the Madden Voice, hi there. And if you catch us in the archives, I want to thank you. Twitter has been very friendly to us, and I pretty much doubled my Twitter following in the last week, taking advantage of some of the tools out there, so we appreciate that. But anyway, we want to get into our individual segments, and some of it will involve the game last night, and some of it will take us. There's a lot of things to talk about other than last night's game. But Dr. Train, if I have it correctly, is going to talk about the other issue last night with his quarterback. So, Train, it is your philosophy.
All right. So, I would say I honestly struggled on finding a topic, but, you know, that's why we have our host community, who's always on the airways of the NFL finding something. So, this topic, you know, the camera caught, you know, what you would say is an interaction between Jay Cutler and our offense coordinator, Mike Tice. And what the camera called was Mike Tice coming to sit on the bench next to Jay Cutler, and within a second, Jay Cutler gets right up, go get a drink of water, and then the camera cuts away. And so the question is, you know, is there an issue between, you know, our franchise quarterback and our current offense coordinator? Is there an issue between Tice and Cutler? And is this a concern for the Bears moving forward? Let me first say, no, I don't really like it, per se, okay? But neither do I walk the NFL sidelines doing games to know what's going on. Neither am I in the trenches. But as a fan looking out, no, I don't particularly like it. But you don't know the whole story. The second part of the question is, the main question, is it an issue moving forward? I don't think so. I think it's another one of those cases where the media will blow up anything they can. Cutler's going to be attacked every week no matter what he does. Okay? He's one of those quarterbacks that's full of talent, but, you know, his character and leadership is always a question. And it's going to be a question every single week. I have no doubt about it, whether we win or lose. Okay? With that said, no, I don't think there's any problem or anything to worry about moving forward between Cutler and Mike Tice. Okay, Tice has been with the team 2 years as O-line coach. Now he's offense coordinator. They know each other. Okay, he knows what his quarterback is capable of. His quarterback wants to win like any other quarterback. You get heated moments. Now, if the media want to blow it up, that's what they're going to do. That's their job. You know, if anybody else want to read into it, hey, everyone has their own opinion. But this team is winning. This team is on its way up. It just won a big game. You know what I'm saying? This team is a Super Bowl contender. I don't think there's an issue between the offensive coordinator between Tice and Cutler. I really don't. I just think one of those things.
I got to ask you a question. I don't know what case I think, but I ask you. So what you're saying here, and I know winning cures all. Okay, winning cures everything. I mean, winning is a magic pill. But what you're saying is that it's okay for the offensive coordinator to try to address his quarterback, the leader of his offense, and the quarterback to just up and walk away. It's okay.
No, I didn't say it was okay. That's the first thing. You know, if you listen to me closely, the first thing I said is I did not like it. That's the first thing I said. I don't
like
it.
You did, but then you went off to...
But do I think it's an issue and or a concern? No, I don't. I don't. I don't. You know what I'm saying? I read Cutler's interviews afterwards. You know, of course he's going to get questions about it. So I read his responses. And, I mean, it's up to people whether they choose to believe his responses or not. But I choose to believe his responses. And he pretty much broke down exactly what happened. He said that they were talking about a third down play where there was third and one. They didn't convert it. The Cowboys stopped them. Mike Tice was saying, hey, we got to get that. Cutler said, I know, and got immediately up off the bench. And then they went on to talk about other game, the next game plan for the next drive. And see, he said that's exactly what happened. But, of course, everybody's going to read something in it because he gets up. Because by looks, he gets up and walks away from the court.
Why do you think everyone's reading like something in it, though? Why is that?
Because that's what the media does.
Wait a minute. Hold on. I'm not going to sit here and get Romo bashed for 20 minutes and say that Romo has to be accountable because of his past, but Cutler all of a sudden is an angel. Cutler has a past here that we can't ignore. I mean, just 2 weeks ago, he was spotted bumping his offensive lineman and being inappropriate to his offensive lineman. There is a behavior in Cutler that we've seen previously.
And also in the same past game, he gave his offensive lineman a pat on the head for doing a good job, but no one caught that.
Oh, everybody caught that, but is it a makeup pat on the back or is this, we don't know. But yeah, everybody caught that. But the point is this: you guys won the game, so it's a non-issue. But here's my problem with it. One, it's an issue. You're walking away from your offensive coordinator, and you're the quarterback. I mean, when T.O. was on the sideline,
we just got on Cam Newton last week for this immaturity. Like, come on,
there's an issue there. But secondly, my problem was Cutler trying to act like I don't understand what the problem is. I would rather he had said, well, you know, at the heat of the moment, you know, yeah, I mean, I walked away and, you know, I went to grab some water and I needed a second. It probably looked bad. I probably shouldn't have did it that way. He is offensive coordinator and, you know, I don't have no problem with Mike Tice, but yeah, I see what you guys saw. I see how it could have looked. He acted like, well, you guys have to sell papers and, dude, I mean, you're the captain of this team. This is your team, and like I said, winning cures all. So you can stand up there on a podium after a win and got your little Hollywood haircut and got your little silly tie on and got that little, you know, smile on your face because you just whooped up America's team. Hey, God bless you. But
I think all that rhetoric you put in between, I think that's comical. But go ahead.
It's true, you know, your little silly tie.
Passive aggressive bashing, but it's okay. Go ahead.
No, it's not passive. It's direct bashing because I think that portion of the interview was bull. I think he tried to act like everyone's making something up. No one's making it up. We saw what we saw. There are times when the camera can lie and we can see something, and then there's times when, oh, yeah, it's pretty clear. It's pretty clear.
You saw what you saw, down. And yet no one, not even the media, knew exactly what happened, but they just saw what they saw exactly. And he explained later what happened, but that's not accepted.
He had plenty of time to come up with an explanation to try to sweep it under the rug, which happens when you win the game.
So he chose not to do it in his press conference, and so what he says later is now kind of made up.
He's not accountable? And what message are you sending to
him? Of course he's accountable. He answered the question.
Okay. Like I said, winning cures all. But mark my words, Mr. Train, we will be revisiting this topic again because your boy.
Train.
I said that when I introduced you. Now I'm saying Mr. because this ain't philosophy. This is Homerism right here.
It's always Dr. Train, but go ahead. It's always Dr. Train, but go ahead.
Yeah, I'm gonna respect your PhD, but right now I'm gonna call you Mr. Train because I don't agree with you. I think you're being a homer, and I don't think you're being reasonable about your own quarterback. And I'm telling you now,
I was reasonable.
No, you said you didn't like it, and you went on and excuse
it. I don't like it. I don't like it, but I also always wait.
You're just placing it though. You're putting them in the media rather than holding your point color accountable.
I read everything. You asked me, the question was, is it a concern? Do I think it's a concern moving forward? Do I honestly think it's a concern moving forward? No, I don't, but I don't like to see it. But do I think it's a concern moving forward? No, I do not. That's just my honest opinion. That truly is. I'm not trying to be a homer. I just don't think it's a concern, dude.
Time will tell.
I mean, I saw... Let's think about this for a second. We saw one example. As a matter of fact, it was just last year. We saw Tom Brady, go irate on the sideline. I don't know if that was his OC or his quarterback coach. I believe it was the OC. Went
that was
great.
OC. Yep.
But still, you saw what New England was able to do for the remainder of the season.
It never happened again. Hold on. Wait. It never happened again. See, the thing is, the reason why. Hold on. It happened once. It happened once. It never happened again. This keeps happening with Cutler. These little bad.
No. That's not a keep happening because this is the first time you ever seen Cutler and Tice any kind of negative interaction between. So don't say it keeps happening. That means you're trying to bring up just Cutler himself and his events with people on his team, but with his OC, that's the first issue. The question is an issue between him and the OC. That's what I'm addressing. I'm not addressing all other stuff. We talked about those 3 weeks ago. I'm not. If you want to pack it all in together, you can. I choose not to. I'm taking it as a separate issue.
When you bring up an example, don't leave out the facts that Tom Brady came out in his interview and said, yeah, we went at it and I was wrong and he was right for getting on me and I should have handled that better. Tom Brady, and I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but I'm stating a fact that he didn't say, oh, you know, it was no big deal. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I know you guys are trying to create, you know, sell papers. And no, he came out and said, yep, he got on me. That's his job. And I should have handled that better. And that's on me. So there's a difference.
You're breaking down their response to the situation. I understand that. But I'm still answering the question at hand. Is it a concern or issue moving forward? I don't think so. And that's the reason why I used that example to show that, hey, their team bounce back, they move forward, they go to the playoffs. I believe Chicago will do the same thing. I just don't think it's an issue.
And my response to that is Cutler's attitude about it leads me to believe that he's not owning any responsibility, that maybe he could have handled that a little bit better. Therefore, we'll see. Where Brady just stood up and just took it and said, hey, you're right. And that's the difference. And so I'm not so quick to just say, you know, isolated event, never happen again. I'm saying you better keep an eye on that. You better keep your eye on that quarterback. There is something with Cutler's attitude that continues to surface, and it resurfaces at inopportune times that if I'm a Bears fan, I'm keeping an eye on him. Because if you guys are winning, you got last night. Everybody smiles and high fives. But, you know, you're in a tough division. Everyone in that division is playing, well, maybe except Detroit, but we'll talk about that. You know, you're in a tough division, a tough NFC, so there's going to be some games that aren't going to go your way, and what's Cutler going to do then? And we'll see.
We've seen those. And he had to answer, but this is the thing, and I'm going to say this last thing, and I'm going to let the title go. When I do see him blow up, when I do see those reactions on the sideline, Cutler has a show that he does every single week. You know, where he's going to get asked the question. And I always wait for that show to see what his answer is because the dude always comes out and give a reason, you know what I'm saying, once he does that show. And that's all. And I always wait. I wait to them before I pass judgment. But, yeah, I know we got a quarterback that can blow up at any time. I've seen it.
Okay. All right. I think it's my turn. And I don't know if I left anything to talk about, but but I will. And as you guys know, I'll be simulcasting. I didn't publish last week's because I really didn't like it. And so I just didn't bother putting it on YouTube. And hopefully this one will come out and meet my my high expectations. For those of you out there listening to the Madden Voice, 347-838-9525, 347-838-9525. We are on Twitter, Commish T, at the Madden Voice. Or just put the Madden Voice or hashtag TMV. I've been doing a lot of that lately. So hashtag TMV. And let us know what you're thinking about. And if you're listening to us on if you're listening to us in the archive, check out our Facebook page, would you? Some of y'all out there, please. I know we get tons of listeners, and none of y'all going to the Facebook page and liking it. Please, guys, do me a favor, all right? Go like the Facebook page and tell a friend to tell a friend like the Facebook page. All right, so, we're about to go into Commissioner T mode and talk a little bit about last night and talk a little bit about the fans of Cowboy Nation. So here we go. Oops, that's a picture. I got my iPad here. I got to switch it over to a video mode. All right, here we go. All right. Commissioner T here, host of the Madden Voices, Tuesday night, October 1st, simulcasting as I do, live on the air on blogtalkradio.com, and also sending you this YouTube video, and this is my T-Bonics. I'm going to educate everybody a little bit on a couple of things. First of all, Cowboy Nation is collapsing around me as we speak over the loss to the Bears last night, 34-18. Romo, 5 interceptions. DeMarco Murray, 11 rushes for 24 yards. Just not a game in Texas Stadium, or Cowboys Stadium, forgive me. It's not the kind of game you want on national TV against a team the caliber of the Bears. This is a game that Dallas wanted, needed to win to show that this is going to be a different year, that this team's going to be a contender. They didn't show up, and now everybody's saying 2-2. What's going to happen here? And over the last 15 years, this team has pretty much been a 500 team since they won the last Super Bowl in 1995. So what's going to happen to the Cowboys? I don't know. I'm only hoping for the best. But I do have a couple of things that I want to point out. First of all, if you are a fan of the Cowboys and you're not happy with what's going on, no one's telling you that you have to stay a fan of the Cowboys. A guy on my Facebook said that he took a year off because he needs to find another team and he's no longer a Cowboy fan, and this is why. Bye. we don't need you. Another friend of mine who I've known since fourth grade says that Romo's garbage. I asked him, who do you want as your quarterback? He said Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning, Broncos, 2-2. Through 3 interceptions in the first quarter of one of his games. I love Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning's pass is beyond reproach, but we're talking today. I don't know that he's playing at a much better level than Romo, to be quite frank with you. Would I have given up Romo for Peyton Manning this year? Absolutely not. Let me also say this, and I'm going to an analogy in basketball. LeBron James, everybody talked about LeBron James, 9 years in the NBA, the year that that they played the Mavericks and lost. LeBron James was a no-show in the fourth quarter. People questioned his heart. People questioned his intestinal fortitude. He wouldn't take the last-second shot. He had no leadership. He had no character. What's going on with LeBron James? LeBron James got all the talent in the world. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Sounds a little bit like the Dallas Cowboys. Got all the talent in the world. Can't get the job done. Can't finish. Well, last year, LeBron James got it done, didn't he? You know why? Because he changed his attitude. He came in, no nonsense, and said, we're going to get it done. Did y'all see? Did any of y'all watch the NBA Finals? It was a different LeBron James. Attack mode LeBron James. No excuses, no smiles. He just went out. You did not see a smile on his face until the end of the last game of the championship when it was about 20 seconds ago and they knew they had won the game. Then he finally started smiling because he had an attitude that had been missing previously. He had a killer instinct. Jason Garrett, I know the chances of you seeing my video are slim and none. I know this. But if you're out there, you need to figure out a way to give your team that killer instinct. You need to figure out a way to instill in that team the fire and the passion that it takes to finish these games. Because going into the second half, you were still in this game. As poorly as the offense played in the first half, you finished off with a touchdown, and you were in this game. And yet, second half, you didn't show up. And time again, we always seem to fall short. Even though we have all the talent in the world, we have great coaches on the scheming side of things, but for some reason, that killer instinct is missing. Jason Garrett, you need to figure out a way. And maybe you need to look in the mirror and see if you even have the killer instinct. And if you don't, step down. Maybe it's time that our defensive coordinator becomes the head coach. Maybe, just maybe, it's time to start looking at him as a possible replacement if you can't get it done. And Garrett, this is your year to get it done. No excuses. No 8-8. No 7-9. This is your year, my brother. I'm still with you, but I'm slipping. And there's no bigger Cowboy fan than Commissioner T. Check out the Madden Voice every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. Check us out on Facebook. Just search for The Madden Voice. Check us out on Twitter. Again, search for The Madden Voice, because at The Madden Voice, all feuds are settled on the field. And, oh, yeah, check out T-Bonics on YouTube and get educated. Take care. All right, I'm back. Any thoughts or comments, or is it time to move on to K-Star?
Yeah, I say we just move on to K-Star, I think, because I definitely get your point.
All right. K-Star, you are up.
So earlier, before the season began, we had a conversation pertaining to Seattle Seahawks in regards to the investment they made towards Matt Flynn and if starting Russell Wilson was the right decision. Well, we're now revisiting this issue 4 weeks into the season, a quarter into the season, a month out of the season, due to the Seattle Seahawks' ineptitude to score points. And they're 2-2, but honestly, we really look at them as 1-3. They've been really bad offensively. They should have lost the Packers game, as we all know. We don't need to go over there, though, however. But let's look at this for a second. The Seattle Seahawks are 27th in the league in scoring. They're just not getting it done. They lost this past weekend in St. Louis, a game they should have never lost to. And that's not saying that St. Louis is a bad team, because they're much improved under Jeff Fisher. He's a great football coach. I don't want to say that at all. But what we are simply saying is the Seattle Seahawks, they have a great team surrounding the quarterback. They have a great running back, as far as I'm concerned, to Marshawn Lynch, who's just an absolute destroyer.
Beast.
They have a great defense. You know, we saw what they did to Aaron Rodgers. We know about the 12th man at home. Well, we know about the safeties and the cornerbacks and Earl Thomas and how physical they are. But Russell Wilson right now is holding that team back. And initially, when we brought this up 4 months ago, what I had said was that I believe we should trust Pete Carroll's judgment. And that being that he's the coach and what the owner pays him to do is coach the team for the best football product on the football field. And right now, I think that he needs to look at that. He needs to reevaluate the situation because the Seahawks are knocking it down offensively. Their passing game is anemic. The only thing they really have, as we knew that they would have, is Marshawn Lynch, and that's it. Russell Wilson on the year, through four games, has 594 passing yards, four touchdowns, four interceptions, 73.5 quarterback rating. He's not getting it done. That offense isn't moving the ball. 160 yards this past Sunday in St. Louis with a 45.8 rating. He's not getting it done. Now, Seattle has a team that's ready now to compete to win that division. Can we all agree that Seattle has a pretty damn good team aside right now from the quarterback play?
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, this is a team that's just full of talent defensively, offensively, and right now Russell Wilson's not getting it done. So I mean, I really do think that they have to at least consider putting Matt Flynn in because this is the guy, as T, said earlier a few weeks ago that the owner had invested in, that the team had invested in, and they kind of just set that investment aside. You know, now a third-round pick has been something to scoff at, but that's not a $20 million-plus investment like they put in Matt Flynn. You know, this is a guy who we saw had 600 yards or at least six touchdowns against the Lions last year, a guy in which they believed when they invested in this man that he could get the passing game going for the Seattle Seahawks. It's time to look at that because, again, Russell Wilson, the stats, the lack of any big play in the Seattle passing game isn't because of the personnel. It's because of the quarterback right now. So I believe that Pete Carroll needs to bench Russell Wilson, and not because Russell Wilson won't be a good quarterback, because I think this team is ready now to compete. At this point, he is holding them back, and there's no need for it because they're invested in another quarterback who they believe at the time was ready now. The time is now. They have to put Matt Flynn in the game. You know, nothing is Tebow, Sanchez, and I understand that. But this team actually has the personnel to be a very good football team. The Jets may not. They had to put Matt Flynn in. What are you guys' thoughts?
Couldn't agree with you more.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, when you look at Seattle without the referee debacle, they should be 1-3.
Absolutely.
When I actually watched them play that game against Green Bay, they couldn't move the ball, and mind you, Green Bay does have a very opportunistic defense, but they have a heck of a pass rush, and they can definitely create some turnovers. So you know, Russell does, I would say, a good job of game managing, but not really breaking the game open offensively. He doesn't really do that.
And so the most yards he's thrown for in a game is 160 yards. He's not putting the ball down the field at all. It's a problem.
Yeah, he's not. Exactly. And, even on that last drive, to try to, get the game-winning touchdown, he did have one good pass, across the middle to Sidney Rice. And I'm thinking that the next pass is definitely going to go to Sidney Rice because he's the big target. But no, he's throwing to Golden Tate, which I'm not sure what the play calling was. But, for them to invest that money into Matt really should be 1-3, at some point you have to wonder if, you know, with the offense not getting done, you know, will they go ahead and let the guy that they invest the money in do what he did in Green Bay? Because I honestly think Matt can do that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much to add to that. I didn't agree with the move from the beginning. And, you know, I mean, Pete Carroll is, you know, he's
putting his neck on the line out. He's putting his neck on the line out there for the kids.
Yeah, but I mean, he ain't going anywhere. I mean, he'll be there for a while with that team. But, you know, you're right. I mean, they're 2-2 on paper. I mean, we know they're 1-3. And to me, they actually do have a better team than I think people realized. And you know, I mean, they could compete for a wild card spot, but Wilson's just not—he's just not ready. And I think it's time to bring. I mean, honestly, we don't know if Matt Flynn's ready because he only played one game last year. But you paid him a lot of money, so it's time to see what you—you know—it's time to see what you're up against. You know, so yeah, I mean, I agree. A little change, just, you know, I used to have a consulting company called Reality Check Training years ago, and the company actually did, we helped people run better, more efficient meetings, and I used to always say that it was a reality check as to how much more efficient you could be if you really, you know, sat down and thought about it, because a lot of it was just common sense. And so every time I use the term reality check, I always think about my former company that I ran. But, you know, in the NFL, we had a reality check. Chuck Pagano, coach of the Colts, is diagnosed with leukemia and pretty much gone for the rest of the year. It's possible that he could be back in a limited capacity, maybe in the booth or in some respects. And, you know, something like this, it's certainly, you know, you really have to remind and think that, you know, we really are dealing with people, you know, with lives and families. And, you know, we sit and watch football and all we see is helmets and uniforms every week. And we play Madden and we play fantasy football. And these people, these players and the coaches, they become caricatures almost. You know, they almost become unreal. You know, you can't touch them. You can't get on the phone and call them. You tweet them. You don't get nothing back. You know, they're on a level that we can't connect with. They're multimillionaires, and they just become images. But you know what? At the end of the day, he's a man, and I'm a man. We're all men here and women, and we're human beings. And they, unfortunately or fortunately, have to face some of the same obstacles we all have to face. And I just want to say that, you know, we wish Pagano and his family nothing but the best, and hope you make a full recovery and that you can be back full time in the NFL very soon. And yeah, we'll leave that there. I also want to say, on a brighter note, that the Madden Voice has decided to add another show. And so starting this Friday, going to experiment with this a little bit. We're going to do a lunchtime show hosted by yours truly, Commissioner T. So Friday, 12 o'clock, it'll be you and me, you, the listening audience, and Commissioner T. And, of course, Dr. Train and K-Star are always welcome to join, but I know that their schedules may not allow them to. But if for some reason that changes, they're always welcome to join. But I am prepared to go solo for about an hour. We're going to talk about the Thursday night game a little bit, and then we're going to get even deeper into the upcoming Sunday games, even deeper than we can get into on the Tuesday night show. So look forward to starting that actually this Friday. So in 3 days, 12 o'clock, lunch with Commissioner T on the Madden Voice this Friday, October 5th, 12 o'clock, blogtalkradio.com. Check me out. Let's talk a little bit about, let's switch topics here now, and let's talk, I'm going to jump into something that I really want to talk about, Train's division for a minute. You know, we certainly have the Bears at 3-1, and I don't think that that's a huge surprise. I think that's about what we would have expected the Bears to be, about 3-1. Packers are sitting at 2-2. But, you know, if you take away that debacle, they'd be at 3-1. So they may be a little underachieving, but not too far off. Big surprise in that division is a team that's 3-1 is the Vikings. We would expect them to be at 1-3. And a team that's at 1-3 that you would expect to be at 3-1 are the Lions. And I need to just say this because, You know, I say things and people think I don't know what I'm talking about, especially this guy named K-Star. Always doesn't agree with me and don't think I know what I'm talking about. But it was me last year that said the Lions are not for real. It was me that said that. I said they won't make the playoffs, and, you know, I was wrong. They made the playoffs. But I told everybody I don't believe in this team. And I heard an interesting stat that they started off 5-0, and since their 5-0 start, they are 6-10. So in the last 16 games, the Detroit Lions, who went to the playoffs last year, Matt Stafford throws for 5,000 yards and Megatron and all of this, 1-3 this year, 6-10 in the last 16 games. And why is that? Now, we can talk about a lot of reasons, but I'm going to tell y'all real quick, and this is the common theme of the night, coaching. I don't like their coach. I think he's an idiot. I don't like him. Ever since that debacle with Harbaugh in San Francisco last year, I just haven't liked this guy. And I just don't think he's a leader of men. And it's showing now with that team. It's showing. Train, it's your division. What are your thoughts?
Dude, I can't agree with you more. I think it is their coach, to be honest. I really don't like, you know, the second game that we played them last year. You know, we have Matthew Stafford. I mean, after you throw an interception, dude, you're going to get blocked. What gives you the right to drag a man down by his helmet because you're getting blocked? You threw an interception. If you don't want to get blocked, you need to step out of the way. Don't be in the play, but you're going to get blocked. And it's just, you know, they're not coming outside. They're not coming out to play football. They're coming out to mug people. You see the way Dominique Sue's standing people down after the play? I mean, dude, it's dirty. It's not even football. And for that, Detroit is falling apart. The team can't even keep it together off the field. Half the team going to jail in the offseason. That's crazy. I mean, what are you doing? You have your career ahead of you, and you can't even stay out of trouble for a couple of months before you're back in camp? And it all boils down to the coach. So, I mean, yeah, they were looked at being a playoff team. But to be honest, I'm not too far surprised with what's happening to them now.
K-Star?
The Lions right now, I believe, I can't sit here and blame it all on the coach only because Matthew Stafford, it's just underachieving this year. As, again, someone I play a lot of fantasy football, I'm in four money leagues this year. As someone who owns Matthew Stafford in one of those leagues, I've seen by watching, you know, his games obviously more closely than I normally would do, him just not play as well. You know, they're not putting offensive points on the board. They just discovered a running back in Mekhi Shore who might be the answer for them. They didn't perform too well against the Vikings, but that's credit to the Vikings' defense. But as far as the Lions go in particular, Matthew Stafford's not playing well. And I think because Matthew Stafford's not playing well, he played at such a high level last year, 5,000 yards, that even with him playing at such a high level, 10-6. I mean, he had to throw for 5,000 yards to get to 10-6. There's too much pressure right now on Matthew Stafford, and right now he's crumbling under it. So I think that with the combination of Stafford playing bad and it's easy to say the coach, you know, isn't doing well either. But I mean, they're linked, in a sense. And I think it's unfair to put on the coach entirely. Just like I think it's a little unreasonable to ask for Matthew Stafford to continue to play great games because that defense isn't playing very great either. They played well, however, against the Vikings. They, I believe, only let up 10 offensive points, as the Vikings had 2 touchdowns through special teams play. But you know, with Matthew Stafford not playing as well, I think that's the biggest Lions Achilles heel right now. When they have a bye week, they have a chance to get this together. You know, they have a very talented football team, so they might be able to turn it around. Matthew Stafford has to start playing better because he has to for that team to do well.
Train, Vikings 3-1, bit of a surprise. Are they, I mean, you know, they're tied with you guys and actually technically would own a tiebreaker as they're 1-0 in division, but record-wise, 3-1, both your teams are. Is that a surprise to you or what?
100%. I just didn't expect it. Truly didn't. And I look at their – I have yet to see them see a game that they played. But when you look at who they've beaten, I mean, they took out what I thought was, I mean, the best team team in the NFC in the San Francisco 49ers. They took them out and pretty much shut them down offensively and scored, you know what I'm saying, on what's considered a very stiff defense. And then they turn around and take out a division foe, which, you know, you say Matthew Stafford isn't playing well, but you look at the yards that he put up last year, a third of them went to Calvin Johnson. A third of the touchdowns went to Calvin Johnson. So I think if you cover Calvin Johnson, you kind of take away a third of Matthew Stafford, and that's what you get right now during the season. So,
three touchdowns, by the way, for Matthew Stafford through four games. That's not very good.
But, you know, back to the Vikings, it's a big surprise. So it's going to be interesting to see how they play moving forward. Like, I don't even know what to expect now when Chicago plays, because I marked that up as an easy win. It's like two wins, and it's not looking like it's going to be two easy wins anymore.
Yeah, I mean, Adrian Peterson, I mean, good Lord Almighty. I remember K-Star was real high on AP last year before he got hurt, and this guy, you know,
he's just the best.
I agree. To come back from that kind of injury like he is and playing at the level he's playing at, I mean, God bless the guy. I mean, he's a physical phenom. He really is.
Yeah.
And if you add in the fact that he's coming off such a major injury, he's best back in the NFL, if you ask me. I don't know what the numbers say.
This isn't realistic. Like, he basically, you know, defied, you know, a medical, like, history, like, all that stuff. You know, it's insane.
Yeah.
He torn ACL, MCL week 16 last year, and for him to come back, first of all, he came back week one, which was his goal. He told us he's going to be back week one, and God, he actually did it. He's a machine. And then, you know, he had two touchdowns that first game. He's been running all over the place. He ran for over 100 total yards against the Niners. Like, he's unbelievable. He's the best running back in football. And honestly, in my era, for as long as I watch football, the best running back I personally have seen. He's phenomenal.
I won't go that far. I've watched a little bit more than you, I would say, but definitely I'd be the best in the league right now. But there's a few others I've seen in my life that I would take over him. But I mean, that guy's insane. He's insane.
But quick question: would you take LaDainian Tomlinson or Adrian Peterson?
Ooh, boy, oh boy, oh boy!
I just throwing that out there because I still take AP. I saw LT, so I'm counting LT in that list. I mean, I know you saw Emmett play. I can't objectively or subjectively, you know, tell you how great Emmett was. Obviously, his stats speak for himself. But I'm just saying, in this era,
Emmett was durable. Emmett was durable and had great, great vision. I mean, people always give Emmett he had a great offensive line, but there's a little vision involved with that. I'll tell you who I would take over LT and over Adrian Peterson is Barry Sanders. I would take him in a New York second over both of them, because this is a guy that would run away from you, would run through you, would run around you, and played on crappy Detroit teams. And just this guy ran for 1,500 yards every year on crappy teams with no O-line, with no other weapons. I believe in his 10 years in the league, went to the playoffs once. You couldn't stop him, period. I mean, the only other guy that I've ever seen play, and I didn't see him play live, but that would be going to the NFL films, that you just couldn't stop was Jim Brown. And Barry Sanders was just – but now when I look at AP, I mean, I'm not going to say he's better than Barry, but, I mean, he's a monster, and he's a harder runner than Barry was. You know, he's a more physical runner than Barry. But
very fast, very physical. We're watching a special player out there. I think that's just a big reason the Vikings are 3-1. Like, hello, Adrian Peterson. Like, that's another reason why no one expected anything out of Minnesota, because, quite honestly, the injury that he was coming back from, it was asinine to think that he would do it, that the Vikings will be contender at all, because they obviously would need Adrian Peterson to be contender to even do anything. And no one expected Adrian Peterson to be Adrian Peterson because of that injury. So.
Yeah,
definitely surprised, and I'm looking forward to seeing the Vikings play, see if they're for real. But they look like it right now.
I think when you add Adrian Peterson coming back and playing at the level that he's at, with that defense, playing, being the year of the defense, like I claimed before, when your defense is playing well, and you got a running back that can keep other defenses honest for you, I mean, you can be a contender in this league. as long as your quarterback isn't stinging it up. And right now, Ponder, he's definitely not stinging it up.
Yeah, Ponder's playing well. We got to bring Ponder up.
Man, he's managing. He's managing, so look out. It comes to Minnesota.
Yeah. So we need to put K-Star on the spot here a little bit. Help me understand the Cam Newton play that cost the Panthers the game against Atlanta, the fumble.
Whoa, okay. Real quick. So you're saying the reason why the Panthers lost the game was because of the Cam Newton fumble?
I mean,
could have sealed the game. Absolutely could have sealed the game. But I just want to remind you.
I think, okay, I will rephrase it. I will respect your objection. Okay, objection sustained. It could have sealed the game. Okay.
You're right. It could have absolutely sealed the game. I was disappointed it didn't.
Matt Ryan came out with a hell of a 60-yard pass. I think it was Roddy White.
Yes.
So, it had a little something to do with it. But, yeah, that's the point is, your Hall of Fame quarterback, if he holds on to the ball and gets a first down, that game's pretty much over, and he fumbles.
Absolutely.
Help me understand. Absolutely. This is your Hall of Fame.
And he will be, nonetheless. Listen, they ran what they've been running all game. You know, they're running their spread option read, zone read. Cam kept the ball, got in for the first down. I believe Tolbert or someone hit the ball or something of that nature, and the ball came out. Cam could have won the game right then and there. But let me tell you something. Cam Newton played a terrific football game up to that point, unfortunately. Because, again, you're right. He could have sealed that game, and he didn't. That was very disappointing. But, my God, he's a second-year player. Can the defense help him out? I mean, they decide, first of all, the coach had a chance on fourth and inches to go for it. He decided to punt the ball. Okay? So he took the decision. He took Cam out of that equation right there. It wasn't a fourth down. I just want to remind you of that. However, he believed in the defense, and God, I hope he never does again, because what I had seen is something I've never seen in my life. They get the ball to the end, Charlie, and they punt it. You know, great, great punt. You figure the game is over. And the worst safety play of all time I can't say his name, Nakamura. I don't know. This let's call him the awful safety. This awful safety just whiffs on a 60-yard bomb to Roddy White. I mean, how does that happen? How is it? That team on the inch-yard line with no timeouts, with 30 seconds left, can strike a 60-yard pass on you because of man-too-deep coverage and put them in field goal range. That is inexcusable. I understand Cam Newton could have sealed the game, but you know what? The coach decided to punt the ball, so that's not just on Cam. And not only is it just not just on Cam, that defense, again, how do you let that happen? I have never seen it. I could not believe it. I was actually watching that game with my friend who happens to be a big Panthers fan. I brought him up before. I actually saw the whole process unfold, and it was disgusting. I can only pat him on the back, and I love talking crap to him because that's just what I do. But, man, I just felt bad. I mean, how do you just pop the – I mean, put your defense in a great position only for them to just completely whiff. Like, the Panthers defense is terrible. It's awful. And the Falcons, again, if – I mean, it's just all this at this point. But if the Panthers steal the game – Or get the third down, third and inches, you're right, the game is over. If they go for a fourth down, maybe they get it. If they get the stop on first down at the inch-yard line, the game is over. So it's just – I just wanted to point it's not all on Cam. Cam played a great game.
No, you're right. It's not all on Cam. I just had to bring it up. I mean, we are on Cam alert. There's a few players we're watching. Cam's one of them. So, I just had to bring it up. You know, that's all.
Yeah.
Another player we're watching, and I know it's an hour and a half before we got into it – Tim Tebow, the New York Jets. Guys, help me here, okay? I mean, we have the Jets and the 49ers. You know, K-Star, you watch the AFC very closely. Train, you watch the NFC very closely. The 49ers go in there and stomp the Jets, okay? Somebody help me. I don't care which one of you want to answer this, but is it time for a change in New York? Is it time? Is it Tebow time? Train, you go ahead and go first.
I just want to give a quick answer. I don't necessarily think it's Tebow time. My problem with the Jets and them having Tebow is that I had the understanding that they picked up Tebow so that they could create some They didn't run any Tebow packages all preseason. Rex Ryan said, oh, we're holding all that for the regular season. Well, the regular season has started yet. I haven't seen anything, any great usage of Tim Tebow except for a couple of runs for first down. And that's it. And here a team comes into your house and they run the Wildcat on you. They show you what you should be doing with Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
Defenses off balance, and you still haven't figured out how to make your two quarterbacks mesh. He might want to take a book out of John Harbaugh, but because John Harbaugh just did it, he sits Alex Smith down, puts in Kaepernick, and he runs the Wildcat on you. It shows you what you should be doing with Tim Tebow, and then he goes back to Alex Smith. Clearly, the Jets are confused. They have no clue what they're going to do. So, a change of guard? No, I don't think so. They just need to figure out what they're going to do with their offense. If you don't want to do a change of guard, use the man. You know what he's capable of doing. Do something. Keep the defenses off balance because right now they're getting destroyed and they look silly.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. Sanchez is terrible. He plays like bad Romo almost every game. You know, I mean he's terrible. And I think it's time for them to go ahead and you got this guy who's a first round draft pick who went 8-4 last year, who went into the playoffs and beat the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he is your backup quarterback. And I will agree with Train, I don't think they're utilizing him to their fullest. I don't get some of the plays that they have him in, blocking and special teams and all that. I don't get it. But put him in. Put him in. Yay. You can't possibly be, 34-0? Are you kidding me? And I watched that game. It was pathetic. Let me just say one thing. I meant to make this point earlier about coaching, because everything to me is coming back to coaching. You know, when you talk about how significant, we see the Saints at 0-4 without Sean Payton on the sideline. But let me remind you guys that these very same 49ers, who many people consider one of the best teams in the NFL, was coached by Mike Singletary, who we all respect as a player, especially training, I'm sure, but as a coach. Can't win with him. Can't play with him. Can't coach with him. Can't do it. Next year, Harbaugh comes in and takes the team to the conference championship game. Same team. Coaching matters in this league, okay? And I'm starting to wonder now in New York with the Jets. I'm wondering a little bit now. Just wondering. I like Rex Ryan. I do as a coach. But I'm just starting to wonder. I guess same thing is happening with my team and Garrett, you got my attention. Well, Rex now has got my attention. Because that vaunted Jets defense, I know Revis is out, I get it, but it's just not quite what it was, and now the offense is stuttering, and I'm just wondering. I mean, I know they're 2-2, and I know they're still in the thick of it, but they're just not playing well. Okay, K-Star, what are your thoughts?
The Jets are horrible. Like, offensively, they're just, look, they're 2-2, but you would feel like they're 0-4 by how bad they've been playing lately. The game against the Dolphins, they should have lost. The Dan Carpenter, the kicker of the Dolphins, had a Jets jersey on, might as well have, because he missed two chip shot field goals to win the game. So the Jets, and in that game as well, Mark Sanchez was terrible. And we Train talked about it. You know, they're not using Tim Tebow right anyway. So they brought Tim Tebow in to do all these great things, these great gadget plays, Wildcat, all these special packages. We've barely seen it. And when we have seen it, it's gone pretty decently well. Or at least way better than the Sanchez-led offense. So I absolutely do believe it's Tebow time. Why not at this point? Look, they're 2-2. You're right, they're 2-2. So the one thing that the Jets have going for them is, philosophy-wise anyway, they're always going to ground and pound, right? Well, there's no one better to do that than with Tim Tebow. So you're going to get a low scoring games, which is what they need, given their personnel anyway, offensively. They're going to have to eat these games out, win these games at the end of the game. And honestly, Tim Tebow's the guy to do it, because Mark Sanchez is not. He's been playing terrible. And we've seen what Sanchez is. You know, we have. He's, if anything, regressing. He's just not a good quarterback. He doesn't put points on the board. They had a whole goose egg against the Niners defense. I realize it's the Niners defense, but my God, they were at home. Put Tim Tebow in.
Mm.
I mean, you brought him in for what? To be a show pony? Put him in. Just, what are you doing?
Rex. You're right. People are talking about Rex now.
Yeah, I mean, I have to agree. I think it's time. Sanchez is terrible. He's terrible. And then just real quick, look out for the Patriots now. Hernandez should be coming back within the next couple of weeks. The team, after being down 21-7, just turned it on and looked like the Patriots we know. And, yeah, maybe it was against the Bills, but still. You know, they did what they were supposed to do against an inferior team, and I always respect that. And so I'm just telling everybody right now, start keeping your eyes on the Patriots. Might start putting some wins together. They have the easiest schedule in the NFL, so they may start putting some wins together. So just keep an eye on them. Anyway, let me do the power ranking. Yeah, the infamous TMV power rankings. And let's once again, you know, we have all the same five teams in our power rankings. And so at least we all agree on what the five teams are. There's a little disagreement on the order, but with number five, which is fairly unanimous at number five, or actually was unanimous, we all had this team at number five, the Baltimore Ravens, number five, and they did have a win this weekend. They're 3-1. And we have them at number five in the TMV Power Rankings. Actually, you know, I sit here and do this, and I have no music. And, you know, I feel like there should be some music playing as I do this. Right, guys? I mean, we should have something playing here. Let me find something with a little beat in the background just to liven things up a little bit. Here we go. All right. So at number five, the Baltimore Ravens. 3 points. We had a tie for the next spot. Both teams had 8 points, so I went with the team that was higher ranked last week, figuring if they're going to drop, then the other team has to get more, and they can't get ahead of them based on a tie. That was my philosophy there. So at number four, San Francisco 49ers with 8 points, and at number three, the Arizona Cardinals with 8 points. But last week, the Arizona Cardinals were number three, so a tie wasn't going to be enough to move them to number four. So at five, Baltimore Ravens with 3 points. San Francisco 49ers, 8 points, ranked four on our power rankings. Three, Arizona Cardinals with 8 points. The number two team, the Atlanta Falcons with 12 points. And that would mean the number one team, new number one team, the Houston Texans with 14 points. And pretty much we had Houston and Atlanta. Now, K-Star had the 49ers as his second-ranked team. I got to ask you about that one, K-Star. I mean, you know, these are the same 49ers that lost to the Vikings, and yet we have three undefeated teams, and you had the 49ers second ahead of the Falcons and the Cardinals. What was your thinking there?
Oh.
K-Star? Did we lose you, K-Star?
No, sorry, I had myself muted. No, the reason why I had the Niners ranked so high was because of the style points as far as it goes. You know, they've been winning by a lot, by mass quantities. You know, they've been destroying football teams up there. You saw the Cardinals, you know, getting a dogfight with the Dolphins in overtime. You know, we had that happen, and I'm not taking anything away from them. We also saw, again, the Falcons steal a win from the Panthers, considering the circumstances they were under. You know, I just deal with the Niners just destroying the Jets. Was it 44-0? With destroying the Packers week one, with destroying the Lions week two. They had the blip on the radar week three, but I just feel that they're by far and away the most physically imposing team in football right now. And I think there's something to be said for that. So I got to go with the Niners number two, and that's the thought behind it.
Mm.
I can definitely respect your reasoning behind making them number two, but regardless of, you know, once you start getting on a win streak, regardless of who you beat, it becomes more difficult each week to remain undefeated. And even though Arizona had a close game and the Falcons had a close game, you know, teams are going to come for them harder each week because they are undefeated. I just think as long as you remain undefeated, you remain up top, you know, regardless of who you are. because teams are coming for you hard every week because they want to be the first team to show that, hey, you're not all you're cracked up to be. You're exactly who we thought you were.
Yeah, I mean, I get it too. I mean, style points, but I can't ignore that teams are undefeated and the Cardinals, no one would have picked them at 4-0. I mean, maybe the Falcons, maybe the Texans, maybe. But the Cardinals at 4-0, I mean, San Francisco doesn't even have the best record in their division, and to have them ahead of the Cardinals, two spots ahead of the Cardinals, who's 4-0, I don't see that. And I think you got to give respect to that 4-0 record. I mean, that's, you know, it's not 1-0, 2-0. Now, you know, 25% of the season's pretty much done, and this team hasn't lost a game yet, you know. So, yeah, I mean, we have all the same five teams, just our philosophies on where they rank are a little bit different. But for 2 weeks in a row, we've had all the same five teams, so that's a good thing. All right, let's get into – we got about 15 minutes to go. And so let's get into our picks for week five. And we've got five games to pick from. And there's pretty good games next week. Cowboys are on a bye, so we ain't got to worry about the Cowboys. Bears have a game next week, right? Train, I didn't include them, but they're playing, right? They're not on a bye.
Yeah, they have Jaguars. It's
yeah, that's why. Yeah. They should be able to handle the Jags. But the first game, 1 o'clock game, arguably the game of the week, if you ask me, be honest with you. The Eagles go to Pittsburgh and take on K-Star Steelers. And the Eagles are 3-1. Steelers are 1-2. They're just coming off a bye. Steelers should be getting healthy. And K-Star, I guess we will ask you to tell us why you think your 1-2 Steelers are going to beat the 3-1 Eagles.
Simply put, the Steelers' offense has been pretty explosive this season. Tyler Hayes has done a wonderful job. But the biggest key to the Steelers right now is Troy Polamalu coming back healthy. And not only is Troy Polamalu making his return to the lineup, which is more important than anything else, but James Harrison is also coming back this Sunday. And this was confirmed today by Mike Tomlin, actually a couple of short hours ago. He didn't even include them on the injury report. They're ready to go, as is Rashard Mendenhall. So you're finally getting the Steelers fully loaded. You're getting the Steelers not only that, off a bye week, 1-2, desperate for a win, the second home game for them this season, 1-0 at home this year. They're going to be ready for Michael Vick, and Michael Vick has not had a good history in playing the Steelers. He's been turnover prone this season anyway. Troy Polamalu, James Harrison, the team give him fits. So a turnover prone Michael Vick, I don't think you can make those turnovers against the Steelers with the way their offense has been playing lately. Again, with the addition of Rashard Mendenhall, should only help balance that out. This should be a very good game. I expect it to be a 23-20 type game. It'll be a hell game, as Curly Top used to say in the Madden Challenge world, all my Madden heads up there. It's going to be a great game. And, again, I just think that Michael Vick's been too turnover-prone lately, and he's going to cause a few turnovers in Pittsburgh, make a few mistakes in Pittsburgh, and that's going to be too much against Big Ben in that offense.
All right. Train?
I'm glad you let K-Star go first, because I was waiting on injury update, and I heard what I needed to hear. With those guys returning, I think I'm going to have to roll with the Steelers also. I would definitely take a healthy Steelers team at home over the Eagles, over the 3-1 Eagles. I would definitely take that.
You know, up until K-Star's soliloquy, I was going to pick the Eagles. K-Star has talked me into taking the Steelers. I was looking for a reason to take the Steelers because obviously I have no desire in watching the Eagles win, even though I did pick them to beat the Giants, but that's another conversation altogether. And I know Train's going to do the update on the week four picks in a moment, but I'm going to go ahead and give K-Star a chance, to since the Cowboys failed him, I'm now going to put my faith in his team and go ahead and pick the Steelers to beat the Eagles. And I think Train is right. Healthy Steeler team at home that's a tough game for anybody. So they should be able to pull this game out. Although the Eagles, you know, they're going to play.
Coming off a bye week in the Eagles in an emotional game over the Giants anyway, it's a perfect storm.
Yeah,
perfect storm for the Steelers.
Everything is a perfect storm for the Steelers to win, and that's why I was going to go with the Eagles. But I'm going to go with the Steelers. So that's my pick. Falcons, undefeated Falcons, go into Washington to play the slightly surprising Redskins. Redskins are 2-2, came back. RG3 is still playing at a very high level and came back and beat the Bucks in a game that really looked like the Bucks was going to win, but he let them down and got the game-winning score. And, you know, if that game doesn't come down to Cundiff kicking field goals, maybe the Redskins have a chance against the Falcons. I don't know. Train, Falcons undefeated. Do they stay undefeated, or do the Redskins take them down?
Dude, I really do like the Falcons team. I truly do. But I was very disappointed in the way they played Carolina. And I understand it was a division team. But, you know, Carolina's defense wasn't all together, and it took Atlanta forever to figure out how to take advantage of it when all they had to do was just hand the ball off to Turner from the beginning to the end of the game, and it would have been a blowout. Their defense has shown some holes. You know, Cam Newton found some holes in their defense. You have what I still consider right now a hot Redskins team. So this may be considered an upset, but I'm going to take the Skins in this one. I think Atlanta takes their first loss.
Okay, K-Star.
I got to go with Atlanta. They're playing very well. Again, they had a tough game against Carolina, but, you know, as much as I wanted to blame Carolina's defense, you also have to give the Falcons team credit for the resiliency that they displayed against Carolina. And they played Cam Newton last week, didn't fare so well, but RG3's been taking some shots lately. And Mike Dolan's a very good defensive coordinator. The Falcons' defense played very well this season. Just the consistency the Falcons display both on offense and defense, I think, is going to outweigh the inconsistency of the Redskins' defense, as they have lost, as I remind you, Brian Arakpo and Adam Carricker for the season, which is a big deal. So I'm going to go with Atlanta. They're playing very well.
This is another tough one, because the Redskins are home, but I'm not overly impressed with the Redskins' defense, and I'm very impressed with the Falcons' offense. And so if I think it comes down to a shootout, I don't think the Redskins got the firepower to match. Falcons just have too many weapons. They have at least two good wide receivers, a Hall of Fame tight end, a good running back. Ryan's playing well. I just think if it comes down to a shootout, I think the Falcons are going to score early and often on the Redskins. I just think the Redskins are a year away, although RG3 is really playing well overall. But he's one player. So I got to go with the Falcons on this one. A matchup of two Hall of Fame quarterbacks. And we're not talking about Michael Vick and Ben Roethlisberger. We're talking about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady meet again. And this is in New England, in Foxborough. And the Broncos go to play the Patriots in a, at least as far as quarterback goes, a big rivalry. Both teams are at 2-2. Both teams need a win to get over 500. Actually, I'm going to take this one first because I can. You know, Peyton Manning overall is playing well, but he's still to me just a little short of the Peyton we've seen. I don't know if it's the new team. I don't know if he's just still working his way back into how he can play. But I'm watching him. I'm watching the throws, and I'm just still not feeling like I have the same confidence in him that I had when he was with the Colts. And I'm not trying to be unfair. I think he's still better than probably 80%, 85% of the quarterbacks in the NFL. But I don't think he's better than Tom Brady. And I think what Brady showed last week, Welker's back in the offense. Of course, Gronkowski's still there. I don't think Hernandez is going to play Sunday. But the running game is looking really good with two running backs getting over 100 yards, Ridley and the other guy's name escapes me.
Bolden, some guy named Bolden.
Yeah. I and they're home.
They're learning about him.
Yeah. Yeah. So I got to go with Tom Brady and the Patriots. K-Star?
No, I'm 0-2 this year whenever I pick Denver. They've disappointed me both games that I picked them. But as we've questioned, you know, Peyton Manning, if he's still the same Peyton Manning, I just, you know, want to read this off to you. He has 1,162 yards, 64.7 completion percentage, 8 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, 96.9 rating. I think he's going to improve on that. You know, he had a great game against Oakland. I believe it was 30 of 35, something like that, like 300-plus yards, three touchdowns. He was just phenomenal. I just see his arm getting better for him, getting more acquainted with the personnel grouping around him. It was going to take a little time, but the fact of the matter is these are pretty damn good numbers. And the eyeball test, you know, it tells us that, you know, it may not be the same Peyton Manning, but goddamn it, 90% of Peyton Manning, 80% of Peyton Manning, 70% of Peyton Manning is better than 95% of the rest of the quarterbacks in this NFL. However, I'm sick and tired of losing when I picked the Denver Broncos to win this game. They got to prove it to me first before I picked them again. Going to New England, that's a tough matchup. New England's running game is seemingly unstoppable right now. Gronkowski, you know, just a massive, massive man out there. And Brandon Lloyd did really well last week. I'm going to go with the Patriots. I think it's going to be a great game, though. I can't wait to see Manning versus Brady. I believe this is matchup 13 between the two of them. So looking forward to it.
Train.
Well, I reckon if anything, this can turn into a shootout. And still, if it turns into a shootout, right now I'm going to give the edge to Tom Brady. So I'm going to have to roll with the Patriots on this.
Okay. Unanimous. You know, we didn't get into talking about the Saints, and maybe Friday on our lunch show, I can get into talking a little bit about the Saints, because I definitely have some strong thoughts about them. I'm making a note to do that, to talk about the Saints on Friday. But we have the Saints at 0-4 are hosting the Chargers, and many people still are thinking the Saints can get it together and make a run. I'm not one of those people. They're already four games behind the Falcons at 4-0, and I don't see it. But a lot of people are still saying don't count them out. They are hosting the Chargers, who are 3-1. But we've seen the Chargers. I mean, this is what they do. They start off strong and fade at the end. So, K-Star, Chargers, Saints.
Chargers, Saints. I'm gonna go with New Orleans. 0-5. That just seems too much. With it being in New Orleans, there's actually, you know, Drew Brees played very well against Green Bay, over 400 plus yards, put a lot of points on the board. This is the game against the team that let Drew Brees walk away, San Diego. I believe this is his first matchup with him. I mean, obviously the Saints are back. Their back starts to the wall, and again, their offense is showing signs of serious life. The defense plays better in that dome, and they're going to have to get all their voodooisms going because they're going to need it all. The Chargers, you know, playing decently, pretty well. But Drew Brees, he's too good not to get a win at home against the Chargers in a game. I know he feels like he has to just bring it down for the Saints. I'm going to go with the New Orleans Saints here at home.
Train?
I still do not believe in the Saints. I still think they are done. But, you know, it's not like they're going to lose every single game. And the Chargers are as wishy-washy as a team comes. So with the Saints being at home, because they are at home, I will take the Saints on this one.
Yeah, I have to say that I keep waiting for the Saints to pull out a win, and it ain't happening. And I don't believe in their defense at all. I do believe in Drew Brees, but he even hasn't been on without having his coach, Sean Payton, you know, his play caller. I have no more faith in the Saints. I don't have much faith in the Chargers, but this is what the Chargers do. They win games like this early in season. If this was November, December, I'd be picking the Saints. But it's October, and these are the games that the Chargers generally will win. And it'll get people talking, uh-oh, look out, the Super Bowl and all this crap, and then they'll fade down the stretch. So for that reason, I'm going to pick the Chargers. Might even be an upset. I didn't even look at upsets this week. Sorry, guys. That might even be an upset, the Chargers going into New Orleans and winning. I don't know, though. I'll have to pull that up while we look at the last game. So, and the last game of the week, we'll start with Train on this one. And, you know, and I picked this game because The Jets are 2-2. The Texans going at the Jets. The Texans are 4-0. You have what should be a defensive battle. You know, the Jets are getting a lot of press because they didn't show up. So what, you know, are they going to show up and play well against a good team, or are they going to get buried? Is this going to be the beginning of the end? And if they get buried by the Texans, do we see Tebow the next week? A lot of questions around this game, but let's start with Train. Texans at the Jets.
Dude, whether they show up or get buried, they're still going to lose. I don't care what that team is. The Jets may be 0-2, but I swear they feel like a 1-3 or 0-4 team. That's just what they feel like to me. They're a confused football team, man. And they're playing the Texans, who's playing very good ball right now. Dude, they'll show up, stomp whatever, they're still going to lose this game. Don't go with the Texans.
Okay. K-Star?
Texans, man. I mean, as Train said, it doesn't really matter what Jets team shows up. They're just not good enough. Matt Shaw is playing at a high level. The Texans most balanced team in football right now. I got to go with Houston. And besides, unless they say they're starting Tim Tebow, and if they did, that's still not going to be enough to beat the Houston Texans. They're just a well-oiled machine.
I'm worried about this one, but I'm going to go with the Texans as well. As I look at the percentages of pick distribution on Yahoo, Chargers at the Saints, I'm going with the Chargers, and the Saints are 70% pick at home over the Chargers. So that will be my upset special. I believe that Dr. Train has, you've been reinstated as a doctor again for the show, has the Redskins taking out the Falcons. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that's a 78% are going for Atlanta over Washington. So I believe you can use that as your upset pick. And Let me see. Steelers, nope, they're at 76% for K-Star. I believe you went with the Patriots. They're at 83%. Let's see. Texans, all right, K-Star, you need an upset pick.
Were the Saints favorite?
Yeah, the Saints are favorite.
Okay.
Did you pick? You picked New England, right? Yeah. All right. Yeah, they're favorite.
Yeah, I picked New England. Looking at this, you know what? This might be a little ridiculous, but I'm gonna go with it because I can just see. I can just see the scenario possibly playing out. Indiana, the Colts, Green Bay. Now, within Indy, Chuck Pagano, diagnosed with leukemia. You might see here just the Colts play out of their minds because of this emotional role situation where again, Chuck Pagano having a horrible situation. We see teams respond to very, very emotional situations. Players play well. I look at this game, and I just see the potential to be an upset. I'm not going to call it an upset, but I think it's a very close game. And which game? The Colts Packers. It's in the Indy.
Colts Packers.
Again.
Oh wow.
Yeah, Colts coming off their bye week. Again, the raw emotion about Chuck Pagano. I think it's very real. I think that the Colts might be able to respond and make a play for the Packers strokes in this game.
Go ahead.
Oh, I think you may about to do the same thing. I'm about to ask you.
What was that?
I was going to ask you about adding just one more game to this pick.
What game is that?
Cardinals Rams.
Yeah, I thought about that.
And it's a division. It's a 4-0 team, and it's a division game. And it's not like the Rams are just playing horrible ball.
Yeah, I thought about that game. I mean, we can add it. I mean, the Rams aren't playing horrible, but I don't know. Yeah, we can add that.
Let me ask you this, Grant. Are you gonna pick the Rams or the Cardinals? Let's just find out. You take the Rams over the Cardinals?
Yes.
I will take the Rams at home over the Cardinals. Okay. I'll take the Cardinals.
I'll pick the Cardinals too. I'll pick the Cardinals too. I mean, I'm waiting for the Cardinals to implode because of their erratic quarterback situation, but they keep winning. So, but Train's going to go with the Rams. So, and I want people to keep an eye on the Giant game in Cleveland. This is the same Cleveland team that almost took out the Eagles. The Giants are 2-2. They just lost to the Eagles. Now they have to go on the road and play Cleveland, who was a little bit better than people give them credit for at 0-4. Giants could look at this could be a trap game for them. They need a win. They're probably salivating to go in and play an 0-4 team. And this could be Cleveland's Super Bowl. They're already 0-4. They got nothing really. You know, they're pretty much out of it. I mean, they're not technically out of it, but, you know, at 0-4, you know, the chance to make a playoffs are pretty slim. And now you have the Super Bowl chance coming into your stadium. This could be, they could treat this like their Super Bowl. And I would, we're not going to count this as a pick 'em game, but I'm just asking people to just keep an eye on that game because Cleveland might surprise some people. All right. We are at the end of the Madden Voice. Let me remind everybody once again that Friday noontime, if you're working from home, if you have the day off, if you work second shift, the third shift, you know, check out the Madden Voice. We will be live noon Eastern Standard Time right here on Blog Talk Radio. And check me out and, you know, have lunch with Commissioner T. And, you know, we're just going to look at some of the games coming up, talk about a few other things, and whatever the latest and greatest news between now and Friday. There's always something going on in the NFL. So check us out, our first daytime show. Might be the first daytime show ever. Noon, October 5th, Eastern Standard Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com, the Madden Voice. Dr. Train, any final thoughts?
Just quickly, ITMV Pick'ems updates. This past week, T went 1-3. Dr. Train, it was 2-3-1. K-Star 2-2. That leads to our overall, where T is at the bottom at 10-12. K-Star is next with 11-11, and Train is Dr. Train is sitting at the top at 14-8.
Jesus. Yeah.
Well, just I'm glad you picked the Rams.
And I'm honest. Because you had one win that I didn't have this week, and I was honest to put that up there on the page that you overlooked.
Yeah.
So, but I'm
honest.
I appreciate that. Yeah, that's all right.
But anyway, moving forward, I'm super excited about my team. You know, definitely hope they don't go in there and take Jacksonville for granted. Let's go ahead and get that 4-1 start before the bye week. And, man, looking forward to some of these other matchups with these undefeated teams come next week.
All right. Thank you, sir. K-Star, final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just excited to see what the Steelers actually look like with all 53 members of the football team healthy. You know, James Harrison, Troy Polamalu, Rashard Mendenhall. This Sunday is going to tell me a lot about the Steelers going forward for us this season because, again, we were playing the full deck finally. It finally begins now. And these are three key ingredients to passive runs and things of that nature. So we'll see what the Steelers are all about Sunday, and I can't wait for everyone to see what it's all about.
Excellent. All right, guys.
Let's see, one more thing.
Yeah.
Just one more quick thing. Just to remind everybody, this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and to those who have followed our show over the past at least year and a half, and one knows I lost a dear friend of mine about a year and a half ago. So if you got it in, you get out there in March and get yourself checked out, man. And you know, this thing is real, and it does take lives.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. All right. For Dr. Train, for Commissioner T, For Dr. Train and for K-Star, my last comment of the night is very simply this. I'm so glad the Cowboys have a bye week. I get a 1 week break. I need a bye week from dealing with this garbage. And I swear to God, I'm not looking forward to seeing those Ravens in 2 weeks. I'm really not. But I'm so glad we got a week off. So now I get to watch the Bears and the Steelers. And maybe next week I can come on the show with my little laugh. We'll see. But with that said, for Dr. Train, for K-Star, for all the people out there in the Madland, all my new Twitter followers, everybody on Stitcher, everybody on Facebook, everybody out there, all the regular people that have been listening to the show, we want to appreciate your loyalty. I was approached today to host another show on video gaming, and I'm looking at that, so I might be letting people know about a separate show, separate from the Madden Voice, that I might be hosting at a separate date and time, just more focused on video gaming. And I'll let you know, for all you guys that are interested in video gaming, you can tune in. Still negotiating that, not sure where that's going to go, but I'll let you guys know about that. But in the meantime, I'm here, Commissioner T, host of the Madden Voice. Don't forget to check us out on all the social network tools and check me out live right here, just you and me, Friday at noon, October 5th, 12 o'clock. Come check out to Commissioner T, lunchtime with me on the Madden Voice. And I get educated with T-Bonics. In the meantime, remember, all of the feuds we talk about, even the Bears and the Cowboys last night, they all get settled on the field. Good night, everybody.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.